We're here with the most hated man on Twitter. And the reason why he's the most hated man on Twitter is because I've been booted from Twitter.
That's right, yeah. What's going on, everybody? Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hello, Alberto. Welcome to Parrot Talk here on the Crusade Channel Live Talk Radio the way it should be. By the way, I didn't even do the station ID. We just were reading about the Paraclete. I want to read this tweet to you, Alberto. I was saying, some people every now and then submit a kernel of truth on that hellscape dumpster fire of a website. And this one rings true to me. Okay, stand by. This is by Richard Cooper. I don't know this man. I'm not endorsing him. I don't know what his other tweets are, okay, for all of the fact checkers out there and the, here we go. Western culture is a scam for men. You get up early to pay for a house you hardly live in. You don't own the land it sits on. To pay a mortgage to a bank that lent you pretend money made out of thin air. You pay interest on they didn't even have to deposit in a vault. To drive a car that is primarily used to get to and from work, usually on congested and broken roads your tax money never seems to fix. To pay 30 to 50% income tax to the government for a job designed to keep you just over broke, while the government spends your money on programs you generally don't agree with. To buy stuff with a sales tax with money we already have paid taxes on to impress people we don't even like with things we generally don't even care about. And if you do well with your investments with income you've already been taxed on, you pay more tax on it in the form of capital gains tax of the government on money you took the risk on investing. All this usually to impress a woman enough to commit to you, that she has already shared her body with dozens of other men, that brings baggage to the table, and if you live with or marry, can take half your beep and your kids if she just changes her mind about you. What did I miss?
What a loaded question. But what a truthful tweet. Unfortunately. But it is pretty much all true. Now, going to, for example, property taxes. Well, in that concept in and of itself, it's not really bad because, you know, you pay taxes to the person that owns the land that you live in. But this is what a lot of people don't understand. When you say, Mike, you are very fond of saying the USSA. Usually in Christendom, for example, you pay taxes to a family, to a person. In this country,
to your lord.
That's right, to your lord, even though people hate that word. They don't have no problem. They don't have a problem with the word lady. You can say lady.
You can call a lady, but you cannot call a lord a lord.
That's right. And so you would pay taxes to a person because somebody, a person, a family owned the land that you lived in. In this country, however, who do you pay taxes to?
The owner of all the land, all the water, all the air.
Who owns the government? I mean, we do know, of course, we do know that there are people that own the government, but in the normie narrative out there, who owns the government?
Oh, you mean like in the broad, we the people of the United States own the government, don't we? We're paying taxes to ourselves because that's how we are.
So you're paying taxes to the collective, and what do we call that? Communism, at least in ages prior that knew their concepts. So, okay, so you pay property taxes to the people, right, to an ownerless, supposedly, we are told, entity. And then we have, so you can pay taxes to the communist government so that you can live on the property that you are told that you own. And then you go to work, and most people now, at least white collar people, and Mike, you and I both know this, people have no clue what it takes to actually produce stuff.
Well, yeah, we're in a service economy. We are so divorced from the production of things in the USSA. And those industries which are so close to the production of things, the energy industry, for example, oil and gas, the building and construction industry, even the aerospace industry, building of airplanes, building of trains, manufacturing of goods and services, those are generally looked down upon either from an ESG political point of view. Oh yeah, hydrocarbons are going to kill us all. These combustible engines, which are the most efficient way to transfer energy into kinetic energy that we've ever figured out. Those combustible engines are evil, and anyone involved with them is evil. So either they're discredited on a moral basis, or they are discredited on a class basis. You say, oh, well, those guys are rough and gruff, and they have dirty fingernails, and we don't like those people.
Yeah, and then in back when there was some sense of society, if you were the best mason around, you had a certain status as the best in your craft, because slaves did not build those Christendom cathedrals, as we are told often. Oh, well, that they just were whipping slaves into building majestic edifices of that still to this day serve as the premium example of what Western civilization once was. But now we have most people live in jobs that are completely divorced from actual production, which in and of itself, nothing necessarily wrong with it as long as we keep our feet grounded. So then, okay. Mm-hmm. So that you can have a car, so you can go to your job. And then what's the status with the women at home that can choose to divorce you at any given point in time?
I think that was the most powerful part of the tweet. I mean, look, everybody knows where I stand on our fake monopoly money, on usury, on the banksters, fractional reserve lending, the fake economy, taxes to an immoral state, property ownership, the Eighth Commandment, TFP. All of you know where I stand upon all those things. And it is always nice to see when somebody wakes up to those things. And if he hadn't added that last part of the tweet, this would have just been a standard libertarian boomer tweet. But yeah, he made a moral point here. He talked about family. All this to impress a woman enough to commit to you, who, by the way, has not really committed to you or saved herself for you. I'm not going to read how he wrote it. Brings baggage to the table. That if you live with her, Mary, can take half of your stuff and your children if she changes her mind about you. That's the USSA. That's the United States of America today. All it takes is for her to change her mind about you and say, yeah, this isn't really working for me anymore. Go ahead and pay me out. I would like to take my payout right now and over time, forever, at least for the next 18 years.
And we go back to the some mystics and writers of the early, what's the 20th century? In Mexico, Concepción de Armida. She writes that the majority of failed marriages are the fault of the woman. Now, let's forward some years later, about 100 years later, and we just got to ask ourselves if that question is no longer relevant. Now, of course, men are not faultless, of course.
No, you're not saying that. You're just repeating the words of a mystic, which is really going to trigger a lot of people.
But let's go back to what we said. So you can say lady. There's no problem with saying lady. But the moment that you say Lord, all hell breaks loose.
That's true. That actually happened to me, by the way. But back when I used to play around on Catholic Twitter, I had a sarcastic tweet about how I refer to my lady as my lady, and she refers to me as her lord. And that tweet was despised by Catholics and Christians of all varieties, especially by women. The idea of submitting yourself to your husband, just like St. Paul says to do in the scriptures, the idea of referring to your Lord as your Lord, the Lord of the manor, the Lord of the household, was so hated by these women. I mean, this, you want to talk about a tweet that gets some traction. That one got some traction. Infamy, not famous. Infamy is an opprobrium were measured out for yours truly.
And still, the autistic priests are probably gnashing their teeth at that.
Oh yeah, the legionnaires of Satan, especially Matthew Schneider, the fake priest, couldn't take holy orders because he's retarded. Can't actually receive holy orders. So, hey, Matt, if you're listening, Matthew Schneider, you're not a real priest. You're a fake priest. And that's why you spend all of your time autistically on Twitter. It's just a truth. You can't take holy orders if you don't have hands, right? You can't, because you can't say mass without fingers.
And at the very least, doubtful, which if it's doubtful, of course, we know to stay away from them.
You defer away. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm not proclaiming him to be a layman. I mean, besides the fact that he is in the bogus ordo, which I told you yesterday was its own religion. But don't want to get too far into Catholic sacramental theology. But if you don't have fingers, you can't be a priest. If you don't have a mental capacity, you can't be a priest. You have to be able to say mass. I mean, you need fingertips. Anyway.
But you know, going back to our topic, what is so devastating with the family, and going back to that tweet, is that whenever I need advice on a serious topic, I go to my wife. And there's a lot of wisdom accrued by women who are sort of, in a way, running their convent at home.
Yeah.
In colloquial terms, locked in, so to speak. There's wisdom that accrues there that you can immediately tell whether you're speaking to a housewife, someone that has accrued that wisdom over the years, or to a quote-unquote career, quote-unquote woman. It's stark, the difference. I mean, just by talking to somebody, you can tell whether they're divorced or not, because women and men have a way that they just behave when they're divorced. But then you can also tell whether someone is a quote-unquote career, quote-unquote woman, by just speaking to her and how she portrays, how she carries herself. So I've always thought that's very interesting. There's a wisdom there in being a housewife.
That's true. You know, wisdom is a sub-virtue of prudence. Prudence, one of the cardinal virtues. And how do you grow in wisdom? How do you grow in prudence? One of the ways is in reflection. This is a sub-virtue of wisdom. How do you grow in wisdom? Reflection, taking counsel, meditation. So to grow in wisdom, what do we need? We need silence. We need withdrawal from the world. And many of you keep your wife in a cloister to protect her purity from the corrupt world that we live in. And that is a great way. And that is how women who stay at home and raise the family can do so. God equips them to do so. He provides them the wisdom to raise a family. They don't necessarily have to go to college to become a homeschooling mother. What do we learn in college anyway? What do we learn? We learn the values of socialism, if not outright communism in college. We learn mishistory, fake science, fake everything.
Fake dog moms.
We have to. Can we talk about dog moms?
Let's do it.
We had the, I called Alberto the other day and I said, we have to talk about dog moms. I have seen in this last year more dog families than in my entire life combined. Part of that is the career change that I've had in real life running a home services business. Part of that is that I have a very high volume of customers that I see. I go into people's houses. I see how they live. I try to make material improvements for them. Oftentimes when their spiritual improvements are vastly more needed for them, and there's not much I can do about that. I have met the doggiest dog moms. Dog-tastic. I have been bitten by dogs, and then the owners of those dogs are like, oh yeah, well, he's just cranky today, or they ascribe some other human characteristic to the dog. Well, he was actually anxious about your arrival, and we had to give him a pep talk prior to, and don't worry, we'll scold him after you leave, and he'll be in timeout. What are you talking about? This is an animal.